Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. And it's always a blessing when we have opportunity to be in church, and I trust that you are excited about being in church tonight. I know it's always a struggle to get here, but once you get here, then you need to be able to put everything else out of your mind and just allow God to speak to you through the services. And what a blessing we've already received in just coming together as a church family and singing the congregational songs and being ministered to through the music. I trust you already feel blessed. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2. Wednesday nights we've been studying on the life of Elisha. We just started the series. We just finished the series on the life of Elijah and basically 1 Kings. And now Elisha goes into 2 Kings, and it's a blessing to not only read the Bible, the Word of God, but be able to study it and pull from it these biblical truths that God would have us to learn that are very applicable to our lives today in this 21st century. And so I trust that's what you've been able to do, and I trust it's been a help and a blessing to you coming out Wednesday night. So let's look here, 2 Kings chapter 2. Go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. Now, we studied this passage as we was coming to the end of the life of Elijah. But as we studied this passage at that point, we were studying more about Elijah, about what God would have us to learn from the life of Elijah. But we're going back, and this is a kind of going over the same scriptures, but now it's got a different emphasis because now we're looking at the life of Elisha, who has just come on the scene and is about ready at this time to take over the position of a prophet in Israel from Elijah. And so I know we've read this, studied it before as we went to the end of Elijah, but I think you'll find that there's a little bit something different. Now we're emphasizing the life of Elisha, okay? So 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you again, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity to be in church on Wednesday night. And Lord, I don't know exactly all the spiritual needs of the congregation that are here tonight, but I know they have need. And I just pray, God, that you would bless their faithfulness to you. And God, that you would continue to use this service tonight to be an encouragement and a help to each one. Use and anoint the preaching once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, as we've already studied, we began the life of Elisha, and we look back to where it started and where God gave us the first mention of Elisha now, and that was in 1 Kings chapter 19. And we found that Elisha was a farmer called to be a prophet. And as he was a farmer called to be a prophet, there was a test of his genuine commitment or not. He would answer the call, but would he genuinely be committed to it? And we find that Elisha burnt all his tools of the trade of farming. And he said farewell to his fellow farmers, and he said farewell to his mother and father. And he committed himself, a genuine commitment, to follow Elijah and experience whatever God would determine needed to prepare him to be a prophet. And so we studied that, and he surrendered. There would be trials. He went from a very lucrative position as possibly the heir of this great farm that he was serving his father on, that he was going to inherit. And he gave up all of that with a genuine commitment to God, and he became a servant. We studied that the Bible says that he would pour the water on the feet of Elijah. That means that he would be the servant. All he was to do is just to clean up after Elijah, pour the water for him to wash his hands, pour the water to wash his feet, whatever it might be. So he was willing to give up everything of this world and everything of his own goals to genuinely serve God. And of course, we looked at that and we asked ourselves, have I genuinely committed my life to Christ and salvation? And have I genuinely committed my life to serving God? Only you know that. God knows that. And sometimes you're blinded to it. He wants to work us in through trials to get us to see if we are genuine or not. Because it takes a genuine faith to be saved. If your faith was not genuine, when you cried out to Jesus Christ and asked him to come into your heart, and say, if that was not a genuine crying out as a lost sinner in need of a Savior, you didn't get saved. And only you and God knows that. There will be signs following. There will be personal convictions. There will be things that you can look to. But only you know, and every individual knows, if your faith is genuine and if your commitment is genuine. Now, I trust that was a help to you as we studied that last week. Well, now from 1 Kings chapter 19, we move all the way to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 2. In 2 Kings chapter 2, we find Elisha's name being used once again. Now, this would be possibly 20 years later. 20 years later that we heard that God revealed, he introduced us to Elisha, knowing that he was just going to be Elijah's servant. 20 years later, we are reintroduced to Elisha, and now we know that it's the final day of his training for him to take the place of Elijah, who on this day God would take up in a whirlwind. 20 years later, he would experience everything that Elijah would have been doing during those 20 years in serving God. He would experience the death of Ahab. He would experience the anointing of Ahaziah to be the next king, and then the life and the death of Ahaziah, all in which we find that Elijah would have been used during those years. But Elisha was just there as his servant. He never preached one message yet, never prophesied. 20 years later, then we find 2 Kings chapter 2, and we find this teaching about Elisha. And so I'm going to entitle this tonight, focused on Elisha, Elisha's Final Exam. Would Elisha pass, or would he fail? Now, I remember as I went through grade school, every year it would come down to the final exam to decide whether or not I was going to pass to the next grade or fail. I think a couple of years I probably should have failed. I told you about one of my favorite teachers was a teacher that should have failed me, but she seen something in me to know that I would do better in the next grade, and Mrs. Payne passed me on anyway, even though my grades and everything else would have determined, if it had been any other teacher, they would have failed me, and I would have taken the third grade for a second time. That was the same year I got saved. And I don't know if God did something in her heart and life to realize I'm different now because I got saved that year. But she was right. The next year, I started getting A's and B's. Later on, I then started wondering, when I got into high school, would I pass this class or not? and would usually come down to the final exam. Anybody else there with me, you know? And then now after I got through grade school, I would not have to take the same grade over again. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Once you get in high school, it's not whether or not you're a high schooler or not. It's whether you have to take that class over again. And then by the end of 4 years, hopefully you got enough credits, amen, to be able to graduate high school. So it's just a matter of credits. You have to have so many credits in order to graduate high school. So you might not pass a certain class, but in your senior year, you could still take, you know, basic math or basic English. As long as you pass that, even in your senior year, take you 4 years, but if you pass it, then you could be graduate from high school. Amen. But many times it would come down to that final test. Final test, a final exam. Even when I got to college, you know, there again, you're not going to flunk college, but you might flunk certain classes. And then you'd have to take them over again. And it would come down to sometimes my doctrinal class, that was one of the toughest ones because I didn't really agree with the teacher, the professor that was teaching doctrines at where I was at. And so I didn't want to put down what he wanted me to put down. I'd put down what I felt like was a doctrine and what I should put down. And so I didn't know if he's going to pass me or not in some certain classes, but it would come down to the final exam. And it was not until I got the record or I got the final exam back to find out whether I passed or possibly failed that class. This final exam for Elisha would be a full day. A day like he had never experienced before. Even after 20 years. 20 years of following Elijah around, it would come down to this last day. He knew it. He knew this was the last day. The sons of the prophets actually knew it. We don't know how they knew it. Elijah knew it. Elisha knew it. Sons of the prophets knew it. And this was the final exam. Would he pass? Had he been prepared? Is his heart and his mind ready for the next step in serving God? This final day, he would have to walk over 35 miles to Bethel. Now, we studied Elijah, the importance of these cities for Elijah. Bethel. Then he would have to go to Jericho. And he would have to go to Jordan, the Jordan River, all because he was to follow Elijah. Would he pass? There was to be two tests that he would have to pass. And I believe that every one of us will have to pass these tests as well. If we are going to continue to grow in our faith, if we're going to continue to serve the Lord and to accomplish the things of the future, the things that God has for us to accomplish in our lives before our lives come to an end, before we graduate this world and go on to glory. If we're going to accomplish everything that God has us here to accomplish, I believe that every believer will have to pass these two tests. The first test that he would face would be a test of loyalty. Would he go when given opportunity to get out of going? He knew that he was to be trained by Elijah. He knew that no matter where Elijah went, no matter what he was supposed to do, that God was going to work through Elijah to prepare him to be the prophet that God wanted him to be. And that one thing that he knew and he had been doing for some 20 years is just continuing to follow Elijah and learning from the man of God, being mentored to be all that he could be. And so we find that three different times here in verse 2, Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." Now, this was his boss, if you will. This was Elijah's boss, somebody that he had been answering to for 20 years. And he would have to walk with Elijah. They couldn't take a taxi. They couldn't drive a car. I mean, this was a very rough terrain where they're at. 35 miles, and if you would divide it up to 10 miles to each journey, 10 miles is a long track over the mountains and through the rocks and desert, whatever it might have been. It was not going to be an easy journey. And so the first journey that he was to set out for, he knew would be some 10 miles. It might have taken away 1 or 2 miles, but some 35 miles altogether, but it might have been 10 miles. And so the idea there is the flesh was saying, do you really need to follow him? This is the last day. And Elijah said, I'll give an excuse if you're looking for an excuse. Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here. Just stay right here. You're looking for an excuse? I'll give you an excuse. I'm Elijah. I'm the one that you are under my command. I'm telling you that it's all right. Just stay here. Matter of fact, I pray you. I think that I speak for God, and if you really want to stay here, I pray you, stay here. Now you have your excuse. Now you have a genuine excuse not to follow after God's will. Not to do what God is saying that you need to do. Three times Elijah said this. The first time, I can understand, maybe first of all, he was still fresh, first trip of the day. Then he got there and he thought, well, we can at least spend the night. And he said, oh no, we got a lot going on today. This day is going to test you. He didn't tell him that, but Elijah knew that. Elijah said, no. Now that we've finished what we come here for in Bethel, I'm going to go to Jericho. So you're going to have to get back on your hiking boots and you're going to have to suck it up, if you will, and get ready because I'm going to Jericho. Tarry here. I'm giving you an excuse. If you're looking for an excuse, I'm giving you an excuse. If you're looking for an opportunity to get out of service, you're looking for an opportunity not to do what God has called you to do, I'll give it to you. I pray you. It's all right. I'm the one that God put over you. So I'm as your mentor, I'm saying if you're looking for an excuse, I pray you, it's all right. Stay here. Elisha would have to think, another 10-mile journey. Am I loyal enough to follow him another 10 miles through another rough terrain? Is my loyalty to the point where I will do this knowing it's the will of God? Knowing it's the will of God, is that enough? Or if given an excuse, an opportunity to say, it's all right, God says it's all right for me to take a break. It's all right because the man of God told me, he even prayed me to just go ahead and do what I wanted to do and not go. But Elisha's loyalty was to God and to God through God to Elijah not to leave him. And his answer was the same the second time. As the Lord liveth. And as thy soul liveth. If this is what God wants me to do, and I know it is, and because I believe in living God, I've committed my loyalty to God, and because God wanted me to follow you and to learn from you, I know that it's God's will for me to follow you. So as long as the Lord liveth, and as long as you're alive for me to follow, I'm going. But it wouldn't stop with just a second test. Before the day was out, he would think, surely now we've walked almost 20-some miles, and it's been rough, and we've experienced a lot of different things, and surely now he's ready to take a break and go to sleep and let me rest. And he says, no. He says, the Lord's told me that I need to go on to the Jordan River. You're looking for an excuse. You think that you are wore out, and you just can't, you cannot take another journey. You need to rest. If you're looking for an excuse, let me give you one. Tarry here. I pray you, tarry here. It's all right. If you're looking for an excuse, I pray you, just tarry here, but I'm going. Loyalty. After the two tests, would he feel the same way after a 25-mile hike? After putting his body through what he put his body through? After everything that was going on, would he feel the same way to face the final of the final exam? Would his loyalty hold up? It's okay. If you're looking for an excuse, I'll give you an excuse. Stay. His loyalty to God was being tested. And he said, as the Lord liveth, I know God's will for my life. I've already burned the bridge behind me. I know this is where God wants me to be. I know this is what God wants me to do. I am committed to this, and my loyalty to God, whatever, I might not feel like I'm able to make it, but as long as I am loyal to God, God will strengthen me. God will enable me. He will help me along the way, as the Lord liveth. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, a very well-known passage of Scripture. But in light of what we're studying tonight, let's read it together here. The Bible says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, tested three times. You know it's God's will. You hear it all the time. You know you're supposed. But have you done enough? If you think you've done enough to deserve some time off, are you looking for an excuse? I guarantee if you're looking for an excuse not to do the will of God, you'll find an excuse. Satan is right there to try to give you whatever kind of an excuse that you're looking for to keep you from being a doer of the word. But you know it's God's will. It takes loyalty. It takes someone truly committed, as we studied last week, someone that knows that my commitment is genuine and my loyalty is to God. It's not, first of all, to Elijah. But I'm being tested through Elijah. So as long as he's alive, I know that God told me, as long as he's alive, as long as you can see him, don't let him out of your sight. It is my will for you, Elisha, to keep Elijah in view all the time. Don't let him out of your sight, especially when it comes to the final exam. He had been following him for 20 years. I don't think that Elijah had ever told him before, it's all right. I pray thee, stay here. So this probably more than likely was some of a shock to Elijah. And now he knows that he has an excuse because the one that he was supposed to follow and to keep an eye on was telling him it's all right. He even prayed about it. It's even he represented God. And I pray thee, go ahead and stay. There's your excuse if you're looking for one. If you're looking for an excuse to stop serving God, listen to me, you will find it. But is that really what God wants for your life? Loyalty to God was being tested. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now it's not determined obeying the word by God. You determine whether or not you're going to obey the word or not by yourself. Not looking to God, I'm looking at my reflection. I'm looking to me and saying, wait a minute, I've done it long enough. It's somebody else's time to do it. They don't appreciate me anyway, so that's an excuse. A lack of appreciation from the church or from somebody else gives me a legitimate excuse to say, I'm done. Yeah. If you're looking for one. You're looking at yourself. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He was a farmer before God called him to be a prophet. You want to be a farmer? You want to be a prophet. You want to be a lost man? Or you want to be a saved man? You want the blessings of God or not? You want to be called and be a genuine Christian or not? No one's forced you to receive Christ as your Savior. No one has forced you to commit your life to Christ. Got to come from you. Is it genuine to start with? And do you have loyalty? As a genuine believer, are you committed to loyalty? Are you looking to continue to stay loyal to God till death? So God says it's time for you to come home. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and look right here, don't lose this, underline it, and continueth. Even if you have an excuse, no matter who it is that's given you the excuse, God says once you know the truth, you need to continue in the truth. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed and in his future, because this man who continueth is truly loyal. There's another example of this in the scriptures. If you look back to the book of Ruth with me, or just write it down, let me study it, let me just share it with you. Book of Ruth. Many of you know the story of Ruth, and her husband left, and now the will of God. She had two sons, and her husband dies, they stay. Her two sons die. Finally, that was enough for Ruth to decide, or for Naomi to understand, I need to go back and be the person that God wants me to be. I need to go back because I should never have left. But now she has two daughter-in-laws. The two daughter-in-laws was Orpah and Ruth. No doubt this being a Christian family, they would have been taught, Orpah and Ruth would have been taught about a creator God. Even though they were backslidden, they still believed in God as we study the story here. But now that she is going home, verse 11, the Bible says, and Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet not any more sons in my womb? There are yet not any more sons in my womb, and that they may be your husbands. Now they had taught them about the laws, the laws that govern the lives of the children of God. But she said, according to the laws, I don't have any other son to give you. That if you wanted to follow the laws and follow what God says about it, and so she says, might as well just turn around and go back to the way you were before. Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons. He said, is that going to be time enough for you to wait on one of my new sons, wait for me to get married, have another son, to get old enough to take over you and take care of you as a wife? So she understood, they both understood the laws that they were governed by. But were they genuinely committed to the God of Israel? And if they were, would they continue to be loyal to the ways of God? Verse 15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back into her people. Orpah said, yeah, you're right. I've been looking for an excuse, and so you just gave me one. I'm going back. She was looking for an excuse, and she gave her one. Go back. She went back. Return now after thy sister-in-law. I'm giving you an excuse if you're looking for one. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. I've already committed to that. My commitment was genuine, and now my test of loyalty is genuine. I will be loyal to the God that I committed to, for he's the only God. Isn't that great? Where thou diest, I will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and all more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded, committed, loyal to the decision that she had made, she left speaking to her. Her life would have been totally different if she had went back. Because, you know, you never hear anything about Orpah. But you hear a lot about Ruth. God actually allowed us to title one of the books of the Bible over the decision that she made to be loyal to her God. Ruth's loyalty was tested and proven. Can I tell you here, a test of loyalty? You cannot force love or loyalty, because if you force it, it will not last. You might think you can force somebody to love you, but listen to me, you're going to live in regrets, because it will not be genuine love and it will not last. You might think that you can force somebody to be loyal to you, but if it's not of a free will, if it's not their decision, it will not last. Love and loyalty comes from the will of the heart of an individual. And your loyalty to God, I guarantee you, will be tested. Final exam. The final exam, the next test that he would go through. Go back with me to our text tonight. Everybody following me, right? Amen. I really probably should stop there, but I have to give you this second next one. Elisha's final exam, the test of loyalty. And then there would be a test of labor. Test of labor. Yeah. To go, to follow, would mean work. 35 miles in one day. You know, we're more apt to sacrifice to go on vacation. We're more apt to sacrifice and work really hard today to take tomorrow off and go golfing. We're more apt to sacrifice sleep and rest to stay up all night on Black Friday. What kind of loyalty would you have to somebody else to ask you to do that for them in ministry? Yeah. To do that for your own employment? Come on, now I better be compensated at least triple overtime enough for you want me to work all night long. But what if you want to go shopping all night long? Totally different. If he was asked to go on vacation with Elijah and follow him 35 miles to a fishing hole where he could guarantee to catch a 10-pound bass, it might have been, I can sacrifice for that. But this was not the case. He would have to travel 35 miles with Elijah, who was a rugged outdoorsman. We already found when he left Mount Carmel, in order to get back to where the king was going, he ran a marathon and actually beat Ahab back to the palace because he ran the marathon, and Ahab was in a chariot pulled by a horse. Now he had to go through the mud and everything. I understand that. But this man was in shape. This man was somebody that was a rugged outdoorsman. Elisha was a farmer. He was used to hard work, but he was not used to doing what he has to do to keep up with Elijah. Would Elisha labor to keep his commitment? Not only will you be loyal and keep your commitment, will you do it out of loyalty? But will you labor? When doing God's will becomes or requires hard labor, will you quit? Paul would write to Timothy, and he would write in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that he was warned to endure hardness because he knew if you're going to serve God and if you're going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, you're going to have to endure some hard times. It's not going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be an easy journey. There's going to be trials, and there's going to be afflictions, and there's going to be persecutions, and there's going to be all sorts of things happen, and you're going to have to be determined, not only a test of loyalty, but a test of labor to say, no matter what, I'll do what I have to do to continue to serve the Lord. Can I tell you, you'll be tested, maybe in your marriage. When it may seem easier to call it quits. When you're having to endure something or fight through something that happened in your marriage, and ever the world's saying, just dump that guy or dump that woman and find another one. But yet you know the will of God is marriage was determined to be for life till death do you part. God's will for your life, will you be determined to be loyal to God, to do whatever you can do? Divorce is going to be imminent for some people because it takes two for a marriage to stay together. It takes two. One person cannot sustain a marriage. But will you be the one that is doing everything you can do to try to keep your marriage together? Or will you say, it's just too hard and the world's accepting it today and there's somebody else out there that will make me a better husband or a better wife? And so it's just going to be easier to just say, I quit. I'm not going to go through this anymore. I'm not going to labor through this anymore. I'm not willing to fight through this. You'll be tested. Can I tell you, there's been many who have given in and said, I quit, only to find that the next relationship was no better than the first. And it's easier to get out of a second relationship, and it becomes easier to get out of a third relationship and a fourth relationship. Let me tell you something. It doesn't get easier to quit on God. You just suffer more consequences. Stay. Stay married. Raising teenagers. I don't know that it's ever been as difficult in America to raise Christian teenagers like it is today. When considering to just let them do what they want to do, because I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want to hassle anymore. I don't want to have to labor anymore. I'm done. Really? And you believe that's God's will? You believe you're giving up from being the godly influence on your teenagers, and you women being the godly example to your daughters, and your men being the godly examples to your sons, because it's a little tough? You're going to fail that final exam. You have to live with the results that you'll be aware of for the rest of your life. Satan would love to give you an excuse if you're looking for one. I guarantee you, there's an excuse to do that if you're looking for an excuse. When you go through the test of loyalty and when you go through the test of labor, there's an excuse there if you're wanting it. What about this last one? I got to quit. Staying in church. I guarantee you there's an excuse if you're looking for one. There's somebody you can look to and say, look what happened there, and look what happened there, and what about that, and what about this? If you're looking for an excuse, you'll find one. Are you willing and ready to labor? To endure hardness, to say, God's alive, I'm a Christian, and there's no doubt in my mind, He wants me in church. What kind of a society would we have without the influence of a biblical church? That in itself ought to be enough to get any believer to say, no matter what, I'm committed. And no matter what, sacrifices have to be made. No matter how hard it is, I'm committed. Even when you might think you have a good excuse to get out. Doing God's will. Following Elijah. Well, from time to time, work. Yeah, it will. From time to time, and anybody who's been married for any length of time, you realize it's not always going to be bubbles and fun and amen. It's going to be work. It's going to test my willingness to stay loyal. It's going to be a test of my willingness to work. But the end result will be worth it all. In closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Can I tell you, it's an exam. maybe a final exam. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. In closing out this letter in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith." Your loyalty is going to be tested. Your labor is going to be tested. What you will endure will be tested. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Know what you know. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Toughen yourself up. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop crying over spilt milk, whatever it might be. Determine that you're going to get strong and you're going to get tough and you're going to do what it is God wants you to do. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia and that they have addicted themselves." I'm going to addict myself to doing what is right, to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves. That means to learn from them unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Everyone that does the will of God is going to be tested, and you have to be loyal and you have to be willing to work. You have to be willing to labor. Do what it is God has called us to do. Elisha, are you looking for an excuse? Elijah said, "I pray you, if you're looking for one, I'll give you one. Go ahead." Stay here. If you're looking for an excuse, you can find one. But why are you looking for an excuse when you have the promises of an almighty creator God? Stay loyal and be willing to do whatever you have to do. Be willing to work. Be willing to labor and hold on to what you know to be God's will. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. What a great message when it comes to Elisha. What he went through. Now again, a little different, same passage of scripture, but now we're looking at how this impacted Elisha, not Elijah. A message, final exam. Before you reach that which God wants you to reach, don't give up. You're on the precipice. You're right there. Don't give up. Be committed. Be loyal. Endure hardness. Stay faithful. Not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do Wednesday nights, but it's an invitation time. God's speaking to you. There's something you're just about ready because you found a good enough excuse to quit. It's going to be there. If you're looking for an excuse, there'll be an excuse. Just don't look. Don't look for an excuse. Be committed. A genuine commitment will be loyal, and it will withstand hardships. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, not only to learn this from the life of Elijah and Elisha, but make the application. Help us to make the application. Be with us now as we get ready to leave. Get us home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.